Welcome to the podcast, hosted by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. And now, our host, Scott Adams.
I'm excited to be hosting a Journal of Healthcare Contracting podcast today. My guest is Joan Elizik with McKesson, and I'll introduce Joan here in just a second, but I want to give you an overview of what we talked about. We went from allocation of MedSurg products and why that's happening and what McKesson's doing and kind of what the industry's doing as a whole. And we spoke about how the big national distributors are working together with the government, with the president and vice president, to get products as quickly as they can, PPE products specifically, as quickly as they can in the hands of providers. And it's a real interesting conversation around how they're doing that. And honestly, you know, people sometimes think of allocation as a bad word, but we really get into why it's happening and the fact that it is meant to protect those folks who need the product the most, not to hoard product away from anyone. So we're going to talk about allocation. We're going to talk about COVID testing, and we're going to talk about a lot about the distribution warehouse folks, the drivers, the sales reps, the folks that are out working hard for the supply chain teams in the health systems across the United States, and those practices and what they're doing really to keep you guys informed as well as to keep you stocked as best they can given the circumstances that we all find ourselves in. So with that, I'm going to introduce Joan. I've known Joan for a long time. I find her incredibly interesting and so well-spoken, and I really enjoyed the conversation with her today. Joan is the Senior Vice President of Customer Experience for McKesson. She's been with McKesson since 1995. She started her career with Baxter and then came to McKesson in a marketing role back in 1995. Since then, she's held several roles across the organization in operations, marketing, supplier management, which is where I met you, Joan. And most recently, she was the president of the extended care division until April 1st, when she took on her new role as the senior vice president of customer experience. No other time like this time to start a new role in customer experience. So she has her hands full. I've talked with Joan several times over the last week. I know she's working 10, 12, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week to try to take care of her customers. She's also active with HIDA, which is the Healthcare Industry Distribution Association. She is a member of PWH, which is Professional Women in Healthcare, where she won the Ann Eiting Award last year. Joan has a proven track record of just leadership in healthcare. Thank you so much for being with me today, Joan.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I'm glad to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I think this question and people are very curious about how we got where we are and how things are progressing on the distribution / manufacturing of MedSurg products. So can you give us a 30,000 foot view of kind of how we got where we're at without too much detail? Maybe give us an idea of how distributors are managing product supply for providers today, given some of the overwhelming demand that's out there.
Sure. I'm happy to. So I think the way we're talking about it is personal protective equipment, and those are products like masks, gowns, face shields, gloves. That's all product that our customers use, but they use it selectively, and you know, they use it for, you know, certain things that in the way that they normally do business. And back really in January when coronavirus started and COVID-19 started to build. We had, you know, there was an impact to the production of those products because a high percentage of those products are made in China. And so when China was shut down, I guess, first of all, there was Chinese New Year, and then there were some issues, particularly in the Wuhan province, that had an impact on the supply of products that were available. And you know, we knew that back in January. And made some decisions then because we knew, you know, it's a relatively long supply chain, and it takes some time for those products to be made and then, you know, get to the United States and be available. So we knew then that there would, you know, potentially be a shortage of supply. And, you know, distributors quickly made a decision to, and I think I speak for most distributors, that made a decision to start something we call allocation. And really, allocation is a methodology that we use to look at historical demand, and based on historical demand to make that amount of product available to our customers. And we do it for a couple of reasons. One is to make sure that, you know, it's a signal to make sure that customers understand that, you know, there's a potential supply issue. So it's possible that the historical amount of supply that's been available may not be available in the future. And so, you know, it's a signal to our customers to conserve and to make sure that when they're using these products that, you know, they need to be using them. It's also a way for us to make sure that we maintain the supply chain and have product available for our customers when they need it. A lot of our customers don't have a lot of space within their facilities. Their facilities are dedicated to caring for patients. And so they might have a small supply closet, or they might keep products in a cabinet somewhere. They don't have space to put weeks worth of product. And so they rely on us to maintain those products and keep them in our distribution centers. And so when we see that there's a possibility that product won't be available, we use this allocation methodology, which is not perfect, but does, you know, help us maintain products so that our customers will have it, you know, as they continue to use it. Another reason that we use allocation to make sure that these products don't get shipped maybe to an e-commerce provider or to a reseller that is, you know, looking to profit on the opportunity that's created when demand increases. And that, you know, that's the other thing, the other reason or other method that we, or reason that we use allocation.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. One of the things I think that as when people hear allocation, especially a customer, it may freak them out a little bit, or it almost sounds like a bad thing. But the reality and the way you just described it, I think is so perfect. You guys put in these allocation methods to protect your current base of business and your current customers.
Right.
And if you don't do it, and you know, I spent years on in the glove business, and if we didn't implement allocation at times, our customers for years would have been in a world of hurt, because yes, people will jump around and buy wherever they can, and to your exact point, hoard and hold on to product when other customers actually need it. So for the audience listening today, I think it's real. It need to be real clear why we do allocation or why allocation happens. It's really to protect you and protect your staff and your patients coming in. Joan, let me shift gears on you a little bit. How are distributors in the industry faring right now, and how's McKesson adapted to the, honestly, just the current reality?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. That's for sure. We have certainly had to make a lot of changes, but I think we're faring well, and I think we have, you know, good partnerships with the government, in particular FEMA. All of the distributors, you know, the key distributors in the industry are working very closely with FEMA, having daily, sometimes more than daily, calls with FEMA so that they understand the supply chain, they understand the product that's available, and to make sure that we're getting the product to the areas that are what they would call hot spots. So places where there are, you know, where there are outbreaks, we're working, you know, very closely with government agencies. And there are a lot of government agencies. So not just with FEMA, but with the state departments of health, the local departments of health, we're working very closely with them. We've also had to adjust to a new reality. So I'm speaking to you from my home. We all of our office-based employees, with the exception of a few that have to be there to run out the operations, are now working from home. And that certainly was a change for our customers. You know, now they're calling, speaking to a customer service rep that's working from home. That's a very different environment than, you know, than a call center that we have in place, but it's working well. We've had to make some investments in technology and systems to make sure that that works. We've also had to put some pretty important things in place to protect our employees that have to come into our distribution centers or drive our trucks to deliver the product. think we're working very hard to make sure that we can support them when they need us.
And you said so many things there that I want to unpack a little bit. One, and I meant to say this at the very beginning of this podcast, is thank you for everything you're doing personally, but thank you all of your distribution folks that are in the warehouses. I think they go so under the radar, and we don't think about how much what they do and how important it is. I actually have a podcast that's going out today where we interviewed, or didn't interview, we surveyed a bunch of distribution reps to ask them how things were going for them, their new reality, what they're doing differently. And a couple things you just said right there line up exactly with what a lot of your reps told me, which one, every one of them 100% take what they do very, very serious.
Right.
Right now. And it is serious. And I try at least once or twice a week to send a note out to the industry, just thanking you guys for everything you do on a daily basis. I know you're working 10, 15 hour days, and it's just to take care of your customers, but also to take care of America. And
yeah, thank you.
So important. Speaking of the reps, Joan, talk to me a little bit about what steps you guys are taking for the face-to-face interaction with providers between your drivers. And I'm not even sure if reps are actually in the field as much right now. They're doing a lot of it from the phone, from what they told me.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We actually implemented Safe Zone protocols, I guess is what we're calling it, a couple of weeks ago. And so we're asking our reps to work from home and do as much as they can from home, unless they need a specific issue for, you know, for customers. So this is evolving as the CDC instructions evolve. But I'd say the first thing that we implemented was Safe Zone delivery, meaning that, you know, historically our drivers may have gone into a facility to deliver product or you know, put the product away in a location. We are no longer doing that. So they are only able to, you know, come to the dock and can't go inside the facilities, so that we limit the exposure that they have to particular patients. And we're asking them to work directly with the staff and not, you know, leave the loading dock. We also have, you know, trained them all on social distancing and how to maintain a 6-foot distance. Because of that, we have stopped requiring signatures and we're capturing names instead for proof of delivery, so that, you know, we're not handing over our document, or it's a little handheld, and we're not handing that over and asking them to sign it anymore. We're asking them to, you know, to just give us their name so we have proof of delivery. We also have implemented cleaning procedures for our trucks and providing some PPE equipment to our drivers, in particular wipes and gloves. And they have a protocol in between stops that they have to complete on the truck, so that, you know, we're not going back and forth between locations and potentially cross-contaminating. So there's that. And then in our warehouses, like I said, we have social distancing. We've provided masks and gloves for our employees. And we're also asking them to self-monitor their temperature to make sure that anyone who has a temperature isn't in our facility and potentially, you know, coming into contact with anyone in the building. So there are a lot of things that we've put in place to make sure that those folks are safe, and a fair amount of training on, you know, to help them understand what needs to be done. And really all of that has been driven by CDC recommendations.
Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've had numerous conversations with different folks across the distribution channel, and just listening to you right there, to think about all of the things that you guys have to think about now and deal with that we didn't in the past. And it's just amazing that you guys have moved so quickly to get all of this in place. What you just described, I know it didn't come easy, and that took a lot of time and thinking, and you had to do it basically overnight to be able to continue to deliver. So unreal. To go back a little bit to the supply, and how's McKesson working with the government right now? How are you guys collaborating with the government and others in the industry to keep the supply?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that. I feel like this is actually one of our greater triumphs, has just been the teamwork, the traditional competitors that have been able to come together and work directly with really with President Trump and Vice President Pence and the FEMA group to share information about the supply chain, help them understand, what's available and how we are able to ship. We have our CEO, Brian Tyler, was, about now it's been a week. I don't know, time is flying. So a week and a half ago was in the Rose Garden with the president and vice president and other distributors to demonstrate our commitment and to make sure that we were collaborating to do the right thing to support, our fight against COVID-19. And so I think that was, has been terrific. And as I said, we're having calls with the FEMA team on a regular basis. They're giving us direction about where there are opportunities or where there are issues that we need to try to advance. I think we're working very closely with them. Despite a lot of these efforts, we're still challenged by the limited supply of many products. We are, looking for new sources and in many cases collaborating with the government to identify new sources of these products. We have, you may have heard of Project Airbridge, where the government is working with us to fly products in so that we can, advance the supply chain and do it faster. And that has been a tremendous collaboration. With that collaboration, we made a commitment to them that we'd get that product to the end users in need as quickly as possible. And we have moved heaven and earth to make sure that that happens and that it's received very quickly after it lands here in the places that need it.
As the publisher of the industry magazine around distribution last Sunday, watching the five big distributors come together with the president, I don't know that I've ever been more proud to be in an industry and to cover an industry as ours, and watching how all of you have kind of come together. And I tell people this all the time. I feel so blessed to be in our industry. We all compete.
Me too.
We all are, chasing to win, obviously, but we all are still friends and we all care about each other. And more than that, we care about the end user and the patient.
Right.
I think it showed. I heard on Sunday, I was listening to a podcast with a gentleman and he made this statement that I think is so true of our industry, and its character during drought is what people will remember in the harvest. And watching your organizations and how you guys are reacting to this has just been amazing to watch. And, John Pritchard, my business partner, and I talked about 3 weeks ago, and our big thing was at the end of this, we want to make sure that we look back and we handled this properly and all of the hard decisions along the way. And I just think you guys are doing an amazing job at that. Joan, let me ask you this. What would you say to kind of ease the mind of providers today about the fact that distributors and those in supply chain are doing everything that you guys can to fill their needs as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I'd say a couple of things. First of all, what you just talked about, there is a very large committed team that is working tirelessly. And I would say 7 days a week, 20 hours a day to find product and to get, make sure the integrity of the supply chain is in place and to get it to where it needs to be. And there've been some Herculean efforts to make sure that that happens. I would also say with, things improving in China that we're beginning to see product flow out of China, and the Airbridge is certainly helping with that. And while the demand is much, much higher than before, there are certainly new sources of these supplies that are becoming available. And so I feel confident that, over time, we'll be able to have more of these available and be able to meet the customer needs. So a couple of things there, just, you know, that we're committed and we are working tirelessly to make sure, including, you know, down to our distribution centers, our people are just, you know, they're so committed. I want to tell you a quick story. I got an email from one of our inside sales reps, and he had actually been at the grocery store, which was right next to a customer of ours, and the McKesson truck pulled up. And he didn't tell the driver that he was the McKesson, that he worked for McKesson, but he went up and said, "Hey, thanks for what you're doing." And the driver said, "Hey, you know, I want to get his words right, but he said, you know, I'm not the hero here. These healthcare providers are the hero. And I would work 24 hours a day if they asked me to, because it's so important that these products get to these end users so they can do their jobs." And I feel like that's the way everybody at McKesson feels, you know, that, hey, we'll do whatever we can to make sure that these providers are have what they need. You know, we'd love to be able to give them everything. And we're trying really hard to get more of the product and get it available. And we're starting to see, like I said, a light at the end of the tunnel as far as that's concerned.
That's a great story. It gave me chill bumps. Actually, I think about these drivers and the delivery folks and the folks in the warehouses. And I know I keep saying it. I'm sure my listeners are sick of it, but I keep saying it because I'm so thankful for them. I know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Brings danger to themselves, you know, as well. So, Joan, give the listeners some resources that you would point them to for some support and to be able to find things.
Yeah, well, certainly the CDC and WHO and CMS all have websites that have information, certainly on how to care for yourself during this time, but also, you know, opportunities for training and new knowledge about what's happening. And I will say that changes every day. You know, certainly the testing that has been developed over the past few days, you know, past week and a half, has changed the method, you know, or the ability to treat this. They're also coming up with, you know, drug protocols and then also, you know, making decisions or recommendations about how to protect yourself. So those resources are all available. There's also for questions, you know, about product, calling your salesperson or customer service. Those are the folks that can give you the most information, the best information about how to get product or where the product that you've ordered is. And I would I suggest that you make those phone calls if you can't get what you need or you've got questions. Those folks are available to answer them. And then we do have a McKesson Resource Center, which is mms.mckesson.com. And you can access a lot of the information from the CDC, read the latest information from our suppliers, look at webinars and videos about infection prevention if you need to train your staff. So there are a lot of great resources that are available there as well. And we're updating that regularly to make sure that our customers have what they need.
Joan, I just want to say one more time, thank you so much. I so appreciate you and your team and everything you guys are doing. Thank you for taking the time to do this podcast with me, and good luck in everything you guys are working on.
No, I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you for what you're doing, keeping people informed and being a part of this industry. I am, like you said, I'm really proud to be a part of it. I'm proud of the things we're doing. I wish we could do more, and I think that we will continue to evolve from that perspective, but appreciate all that you have done as well. So take care.
All right. Thank you.
I knew that was going to be a good conversation with Joan. I had no idea that I would get so much out of it just from how much they've had to do so quickly. Hopefully you enjoyed that podcast. We are definitely trying to put out as much content around this as we can for you guys to keep you informed. Be looking for stuff in the daily news regularly. We're doing multiple podcasts around a ton of different topics that for no other reason to keep you informed and to make us all still feel connected as we have to work from home and we don't get to see each other as much, and we're all just so busy and trying to take care of America's patients. and the healthcare workers that are out there taking care of us. So thank you for listening to the podcast, and we will talk to you soon.